Amen. Thank you, Miss Wendy. Praise the Lord. That's what he did, amen. And he didn't just do it for me. He did it for you. He did it for the whole world. And praise the Lord for that. Thank you for that good song this morning. And take your Bibles with us this morning. We'll get cranked into this thing. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5 this morning. Daniel chapter 5 this morning. So many things we could preach out of this text. Here in this chapter of chapter 5, we're going to draw our mind just to one part of it. But to get to that one part, we need to read several verses of Scripture. So Daniel chapter 5, I want to encourage you to follow along with us. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible in your pew. If there's not, look on with your neighbor. I sure want you to see what the Bible says, not what the preacher says, but what the Bible says. Daniel chapter 5 this morning. Daniel chapter 5. And if you found your place this morning, I want to invite you to stand this morning out of honor and reverence to the Word of God if you can. Daniel chapter 5 this morning. Now let's look at this together. We'll say things as we go. Verse 1 of Daniel chapter 5 says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, and iron, and wood, and of stone. Then verse 5 says, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall in the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. The king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. I've never been that scared that my knees literally knocked. People say that like it don't really happen, but here's a man that came so overwhelmed that his knees began to knock. Now, why did that happen? Well, preacher, if I'd have saw that, I'd have been scared just like him. Can you imagine seeing this, you know, see all of a sudden a hand come out of nothing and begin to write on the wall? Can you imagine? That sounds like something Hollywood. Where do you think Hollywood gets most of the things they get? They just turn it around, take good and turn into evil. They're having a good old time, drinking and partying and just living life. And all of a sudden, God comes on the scene and the hand of God reaches out and begins to write on the wall. Got his attention, didn't it? Probably the quickest anybody had ever sobered up was right there. What were they doing? Eating, drinking, and being merry. What were they using? The things of God's house. I wonder this morning, now we're not going to bring in Bud Dummers and all that junk, but I wonder this morning if maybe we're not guilty of misusing the house of God. That's what the problem is. It came all the way from his father. So, hey mama, hey daddy, you might cause your children to be just like this man. Belshazzar's daddy brought those cups and things from Jerusalem. The things that we're laying in front of our children might come back to haunt them. The Bible says again that verse 6 says, then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so the joints of his loins were loose and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and all the queen spake, and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's still a man. Amen. What do you mean, preacher? Well, what this took place got his attention. And he called all the wrong people in. He called what he thought he could, all that he knew. And this morning, that's exactly where we find ourselves. Many times we'll find ourselves in a place just like Belshazzar, and we reached all the worldly things that we think can help us. And just like we see here, it all comes to naught. But I'm glad there's somebody out knocking on doors. I'm glad there's somebody handing out tracts. I'm glad there's still preachers crying aloud. I'm glad there's teachers standing in front of classes still saying, there is a man. Hey, you don't know what's going on. You might not be able to interpret what's taking place in your life. You might be scared to death every night when you lay your head down on the pillow that you're going to die and bust hell wide open. But there's a man that can help you this morning, and his name's Jesus. Verse 11 says, there's a man in thy kingdom who is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods was found in him whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Verse 12, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing the hard sentences and dissolving of the doubts were found in this in the same Daniel whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretation and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. I love what Daniel said. Look at verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. Boy, there's so many people today in for filthy lucre. All they care about is for themselves. But here's Daniel says, listen, I don't want your gold. I don't want your authority. I'll tell you what God said. And that ought to be our desire this morning. It doesn't matter what man wants to do to us. We ought to say, here's what God says. And that's what he did here. Verse number 18, O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he slew, and whom he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his highly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Boy, what's Daniel saying? Daniel's looking and says, look, fool. You shouldn't call him a fool. He is a fool. He doesn't believe in God. He's a fool. And he says, Daniel's like, look what God did to your daddy. God made your daddy like a beast of the field, and he ate grass like an ox. And now you sit here in your own house, living it up and drinking and partying and having a good old time with the things of God. Did you not learn nothing? Verse 23, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven,
And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. The God this morning that gives every one of us breath. The God this morning that takes your heart and lets it beat. That God you've not glorified. We lift ourselves up in selfish pride. We lift ourselves up in what we think we can do. There's not a soul in here, I guarantee you. Let me take my knife this morning and cut your cervical spine and you'll not breathe. Let me take and stop your heart and you'll not be able to make it beat again. And we take that so nonchalant that the God of heaven that gives us breath, that gives us life, and we act so foolish. Verse 24, then was part of the hand sent from him, and the writing was written. Verse 25, and this is the writing. Again, remember, this is our story. Here they are partying up and having a good old time, drinking out of the things of God, and all of a sudden a hand appears and it begins to write on the wall, and the king's countenance changed. He's shaking in his own boots, and now he don't know what it means, but he knows it's bad. And you might be here this morning and you don't know what it means, but you just know it's bad. You know in the depths of your heart that you don't want to go to hell. Verse 24, then was with part of the hand sent from him. This is a writing, and Daniel begins to proclaim truth. And this is a writing that was written, meaning, tekel, you Harrison. This is the interpretation of the thing, meaning God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting. Paris, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain and gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler of the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Medan took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord. I pray once again, God, that you take these words this morning, God, and burn them upon our hearts. God, I pray for power. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, even now, is speaking to that one this morning. God, I just ask you, Lord, again, to touch and bless as only you can. And, Lord, we're going to thank you and praise you for what you do. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You be seated this morning. No, I wanted to read, we could have just grabbed part of that and run with it, but I wanted to give you the whole sense of what we see here this morning. And you say, well, preacher, I can see that. If God this morning would do that for me, if God this morning would come into our midst and take his finger and write on the wall this morning my name, I'd get scared and I would get things right with God. Well, let's look up here at me, friend. He has. That same finger that wrote on that wall that day in Belshazzar's home is the same finger that Moses come down and wrote on a tablet. It's the same finger that wrote in the men's heart that wrote down these words. And God, just as real as he wrote that day on that wall for Belshazzar, amen, has written his word to every person in the world. Amen. You're without excuse, old man. Right. And again, they were having a great day. Can you imagine the festivities of that day? But God saw their foolishness. Thank God for his mercy. Amen. Thank God for that hand that reacheth out that far. That long suffering. God could just let him keep on going and killed him. But God gave him a chance to see. And this morning, you're one more time being able to hear not what the preacher says, but what this great book says. What God in heaven has to say to us. And we see this great truth this morning that God has written to us. And I want to draw our minds this morning. Again, there's so many things that we could see this morning, but I want to draw our minds over to the interpretation of what God had to say that day. And I believe with all my heart it's something that we need to proclaim and cry aloud more and more in our day, is this is the message of God. And we see in verse 25 that Daniel proclaims what was written on the wall, meaning, tekel, you Pharisee. Then he begins to interpret that. Well, preacher, I can't understand what the Bible says. Well, let the Bible interpret itself. It's not that hard. What did God say? He says, well, verse 26, he says, this is the interpretation of this other thing. Meaning, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. What does that mean? God knows everything. It's complete in who? God. And then this is what I really want to look at in the second part. Verse 27 says, and tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Now, when you think about that thought as your weight in the balance, you're talking about in your mind, I didn't have one. I guess I could have got the one with you for vacation Bible school. But if you think about a balance, you have a center point. Come on up here with me. And then, you know, I'll break something. Thank you. Careful. I'm good at breaking stuff. And you got a cross beam. You got a middle point. That's a centering beam. And then you have something on each side, and it'll balance like this, whatever has the most weight in it. True? This isn't hard to understand. Well, what did God tell the king that day? He says, you're getting weighed. All right, ladies, don't get nervous, but we're going to weigh everybody today. Who wants to go first? Anybody want to jump up on the scale? Well, God's weighing you. Now, there's different kinds of weight systems, and even the Bible talks about it. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 1, it says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. You know what that means? As God weighs us, see, we like to lie to ourselves. Remember, I remember what service it was. I told you about that thing I saw in the news where this outfit has come up with a scheme, and they're making what they call skinny mirrors. And all the places that sell clothes, a lot of them are buying these mirrors. So when you ladies put on that dress, you don't have to ask us husbands, do I look fat in this? You look at that mirror and think, boy, I look good in this. It makes you look skinny. That's true. They're out there. But how many times do you lie to yourself? I'm all right. God's okay with this. It ain't too bad. God says that's a false weight. God says you're in the balance. This morning, right now, you're in the balance. And the Bible says again there in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. But then there's a just balance. Proverbs 16:11 says this, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are His work. So this morning, God told the king, He says, you're being weighed. You're in the balance. And it doesn't matter how much false weight you put in there. God says, I have a just weight. And we're going to weigh you out to find out which side you go. And just in, like it is this morning, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. You're in the balance this morning. But then there's sad words that followed up with that. And that's what we saw. We're going to look at this for a moment this morning. Notice what he says. He says, verse 27, he says, thou art weighed in the balances. And then here's the sad part. Art found what? Wanting. You know, this morning, one of the biggest troubles of our day is people don't want for nothing. The Bible says that Daniel prophesied, said, this is what God says. He read and declared unto the king. It says, look, king, he says, God has given you a kingdom and it's finished. You're being weighed in the balance and you're found wanting. I couldn't help but think of something about wanting. And probably, again, I really believe spiritually and physically in our day that so many people don't really know what it means to want. Now, I know we have hunger in America. I know there's people this morning that slept under bridges, that don't have a place to live, that didn't eat for days. I know that's out there. It's a reality. But I'm going to say the majority of us in here didn't do that. But when's the last time you really had a wanting about you? Now, anybody in here have asthma? Anybody else? Anybody else? In my mind, when I think about that thought of wanting, I've been in the fire department, been in medical stuff for many years of our lives, and in my mind, probably one of the hardest things that would ever, I don't know if y'all sit around and think about this, I think drowning would be a tough way to die. You ever thought about it? When you're in that water and you hold your breath as long as you can, but it ain't going to be long that your body's going to be wanting something. And what's it going to want? Air. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to be in that water. You're going to be covered up, surrounded with water. And as long as you keep that water out of you, you're in good shape. But when your body is weighed in the balance and found wanting for air, you're going to open up your mouth and you're going to suck in water hoping there's some air in it, and you're going to drown. Wanting. I couldn't help but think about Michael Barnett. We had our youth up in Tennessee on a missions trip. We'd left the printing office that we were working out of and took them for a day of fun. We went to, what was that place called? Something Caverns. I'd never been down in one of those things. And I was excited. I was looking forward to going down in that cavern. I don't know. We probably had lost season. I don't remember what it was at. But they was probably a dozen teenagers, and me and my wife and Michael and his wife were chaperoning. And they had, which baby was it? Nathaniel. Just a little old thing. We began to go down them steps, walking our way down into this thing. And anybody ever been down one of those caverns? Gets a little darker and darker, and temperature starts changing pretty drastically, doesn't it? All of a sudden, me and my wife, as we always seem to do, we always bring up the rear. All of a sudden, Michael and Athena stop. And Athena turned around in fear and laid little Nathaniel, less than a year old, says, "Help," and handed her a blue baby. He quit breathing on her. We don't know how long he'd been without oxygen. He'd been running a little bit of a fever, and they think just that change of temperature set him off into that. He wasn't breathing. She found herself in a state of want. She was weighed in the balance at that moment with a dead baby. He wasn't breathing. And you think I'm kidding, she'll tell you he looked like a Smurf. He was that blue. She grabbed him. We instantly went running up the steps to get him back out into the daylight. And just by the grace of God, the ambulances were there within just minutes. But that's the terror of wanting. Wanting is not, hey, what you want for Christmas? Oh, I want one of those new 75-inch big screen TVs that, you know, I want. That's what I want. That's not wanting. Wanting this morning is when you can't breathe and you know you've got to have air. Wanting is when you're hitting a dead baby into somebody else's hand knowing you can't do anything for it, but you want help. And God took the king that day and said, "Listen, king, you're found in judgment. You're found on the balance beam of God, and you came up short. And you're going to find yourself wanting." That's where I found myself as a 13-year-old boy. I found myself on the scale of God, and I saw myself in dire need of something that I couldn't muster up. I couldn't make myself feel any better. I couldn't get those things out of my head. I couldn't get those thoughts of dying and busting hell open. I couldn't get that out of my mind, and I found myself in want. God, I want something that I can't get. And that's what the king said. That's what God told the king. He says, You stand in judgment today, and you're founding in want. This morning, I'm afraid that the majority of people today, and listen, this ain't what most churches are going to tell people today. It's what most people don't even want to think about today. We're so self-sufficient. we'll take care of it. No, friend, you're on the balance of God today. And you're on the losing side of the balance because you're going to find yourself wanting. That's what God told Daniel. He says, tell the king. He says, he's in the balance and he's found wanting. But you know, there's other places in the Bible that same thought comes about. Over there in Matthew, I think it's Matthew. I don't want to run back up the steps. I think it's over Matthew chapter 25. I think that's right. It's in Matthew. The Lord's given a picture of when the Lord returns for the kingdom. And he says there's those virgins out there that are preparing. And says they have their lamps. But not all of them have made preparation. And when the bridegroom comes, half of them trim their lamps. Why? Because they had made preparation. And they looked at the ones that had the oil and says, hey, give us what you've got. And they said, no, you can't have what I got. You'll have to go get your own. And while they left, the Bible says that the bridegroom came. And the ones that were ready went with him. And then the ones that wasn't ready came back and beat on the door. Let us in. They said, no, you can't come in. But we want to come in. You know where those virgins found themselves that day? In want. They wanted that oil. But they didn't have oil. They wanted in. And they couldn't get in. Can I tell you this morning, I know those verses have to do when the Lord comes back to set up that kingdom. But listen to me. The Lord's coming back.
Yes, sir.
And there's many people that day that are going to be harvested out. I believe that. I believe this morning if the Lord come back right now, hey, I'd be out of here.
Yes,
but you might find yourself wanting that day. I wish I could have said something. I wish I'd have got things right. I'm wanting to go back. There won't be no going back. You'll find yourself wanting. You're going to be weighed in the balance of God. And you're going to come up short and you'll be wanting. So God told the king there, he says, look, friend, you're going to be found in wanting. Those virgins there in Matthew were found wanting. There's another place that sort of plays out too. It's over in Luke chapter 16. There was a man in hell. You know where he found himself? Wanting. Abraham! Abraham! Would you just put your finger in some water and drop a little drip of water on my tongue? I'm in this place of torment. I'm in this place where the fire is not quenched. I'm in this place of agony and distress. And then it's always terrible, Abraham. If you could just give me one drop of water. Oh, that's all I want. Guess what? And again, we jokingly said this, but it's true. Anybody ever had a youngin' pitch a fit on you and start holding its breath? That don't freak me out. But it's not breathing. I promise you, when it passes out, it will start breathing. Don't give in. Hold your ground. He'll breathe. But I want you to picture this morning not be able to get your breath. Miss Vernon, I don't mean to bring up anything to hurt you by no means, but I remember sitting beside of you and Brother Arno at IHOP one morning. We had our senior breakfast over there.
Yes.
I said, we was having a good old time. Everybody laughing, cutting up. All of a sudden, I felt Arno fall over on me. He was choked. He had swallowed something and it lodged and he was going out. He'd done lost the place that he couldn't hold himself up and he fell over on me is what got my attention. And I got up and got behind him and did the Heimlich on him and we were all good. But can you picture yourself this morning wanting to breathe and cannot breathe? That's what God was telling Belshazzar. You're going to want, but you're not going to get nothing. Those 10 virgins, five of them were ready, five of them wasn't. That man in hell still wants a drink of water today. He's still in want. See, this morning, oh, I'm hungry. What are we going to have for lunch? Well, we got some lima beans. I don't like lima beans, so that's the reason I said that. My children would say, Daddy, I'm thirsty. Well, here's some water. That's not what I want. Well, you ain't thirsty. You know, I was really mean to my kids. That's probably the way they turned out, the way they did. But see, today we really don't understand the concept of really wanting. But God's pretty serious when he told Belshazzar, you're found in the balance wanting. He was very serious when he gave us the illustration of those 10 virgins and five of them were ready and five of them wasn't. And they were found wanting. He was very serious when he gave us a glimpse of hell there in Luke chapter 16. And we saw that rich man crying out in hell, I want water! And today the screams of hell are still the same. But we sit here and think, I'll get whatever I want today for lunch. But God says, you're going to come before me one day and you're going to find yourself in want. And you'll not get out of that one. But now, let me close with this. And I'm closing, I promise. Again, God told Belshazzar, you're in the balance, you're found wanting. And Belshazzar died that night and busted hell wide open. Those five virgins that didn't have oil, they wanted oil, but it was too late. They wanted in and could not get in. That rich man in hell had everything this world wanted, he thought he could ever have, but then he found himself somewhere that his riches didn't help him and he wanted a drink of water. He's still wanting it. Now, the good news. Take your Bible to Psalms 23. You don't have to be found wanting. Everybody knows these verses probably. Belshazzar, you're found wanting. Those five virgins were found wanting. Man in hell is found wanting. Guess what? Good news, good news. Psalms 23 verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not, what? I shall not what? Want. I'm thankful this morning I don't have to spend my day wanting. I'll never have to want to get in because I'm already in. I'll never have to want a drink of water because I have a fountain flowing out of me of living water. I'll never have to worry about the balance beam of God because I've got Christ and He outweighs it all. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. I shall not want. And you can go through the rest of that. We won't take time to go through it, but rest. See, I'll never want rest. Preacher, don't you get tired? In this old body, I stay tired. But when it comes to my spiritual thoughts, I'm at rest. Is it well? Is it well? Oh, it's well. Why? Because I don't want. He's taking care of all my needs. But my God shall supply what? All my needs. According to what? According to His riches, where? In glory. How? In Christ Jesus. When the Lord is my shepherd, and when the Lord is your shepherd, you will not find yourself in want. But if you're here this morning, hell's real. You will be in the balance of God. You will be weighed. And if you don't have Christ, you will find yourself wanting. Can you imagine wanting breath and could not breathe?
Some of you have asthma, know that feeling. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine. I've ran out, when I was a fireman, I've ran out of oxygen before. And when you've got a good seal on that mask, and when that bottle runs out of air, there's nothing left there, and it'll suck that mask up against your face. All I had to do is jerk the mask off. I had air. But when you're in the balance of God, there'll be no jerking the mask off. The rich man in hell still has a want today. He wants out, but he'll never get out. He wants a drink of water for relief, and he'll never get it. Oh, preacher, you really believe that? With every fiber that's in me. Now, I want you to think about this. Belshazzar was influenced by what? His daddy. He found those places to mock God because his daddy had stole the cups from out of the temple. Just because you're saved this morning, your children are going to be found and won't if they don't have Christ. You're playing a big part of that. I can't save them, you can't save them. But I want to keep them around as much as I can around the things of God so they can be saved. Your neighbors, you can't save your neighbors, but Christ can. You can't save your co-workers, but Christ can. That's the reason we ought to be inviting people. We ought to be encouraging people. They're going to find themselves and won't. Listen to me. Yesterday, I'll be honest with you, was probably one of my hardest days here at Gospel Light Baptist Church. Really, preacher? Why? Because I watched those men out there, not many of them, but the men that were here, working. And I wanted to work. But I couldn't do nothing. We took a CPR class, and I'm so thankful for that. We'll do another one if we get enough people who want to do it. If your husband or your wife falls over on the floor, their heart's not beating, you're going to want somebody that can do something. Anybody ever had to call for an ambulance? Let me ask you something. Now, we live out in the sticks. It takes a long time for anybody to get to my house. But I guarantee you this morning, if you were in need of assistance, and I hollered out, hey, call 911. Somebody dialed 911. It would take several minutes for them to get here. And if you've ever had somebody hurt or in need and you call 911, those are the longest minutes. Man, that seemed like hours. And it might not have been but 3 minutes. I'm glad she knew what to do when Athena handed her a dead baby. It wasn't my wife that done anything. I'm glad she knew what to do, though. I'm glad when my daddy's heart quit on him that we knew what to do. I'm glad the times that we didn't ever get everybody back. I'm not saying you do. But can you imagine standing there? That's the worst feeling, wanting to do something and can't do nothing. Listen to me. As much as I'd want to be able to do CPR or put breath into a man or a woman or a boy or a girl because they were dying, how much more should I want to give the gospel? If you drove up this afternoon and there was a wreck right in front of your house and there laid a man out there that's getting ready to step out into eternity and you've been given the gospel to give to him and you could talk to him and his last words could be, Lord, save me. Right. Would you know how to do that? Right. That man might be laying there found wanting. It's pretty serious stuff. It got Belshazzar's attention, didn't it? I believe he messed himself. Said he was loosed. His knees were knocking. I wish we'd get that kind of attention about hell. When's the last time hell scared you? Preacher, I ain't going. Well, hallelujah, I ain't either. But we ought to be scared to death that our children might be. Our grandchildren. Try to pray every day for my grandbabies. They're little. They ain't going to stay little. Both my children made professions, but they're not saved. I sure want them to be saved. My mom and daddy tell me they're saved, but if they're not saved, I sure want them to be saved. I sure don't want them to be found wanting. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What about you? Let's stand together this morning.